It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, welcome to another exciting show of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. This week, Scott couldn't make it to the podcasting studio because he had an issue come up, so taking forth for Scott is DigiBlur.
Hello, everybody.
DigiBlur, you've done awesome, especially with this week. We launched a major feature on the website, which we'll get into a little bit later, but before we get into that, tonight was the Academy Awards. I couldn't imagine how well the Academy Awards looked, but the major news on the website was Blu-ray has won the war for high-definition formats.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing because I mean that's one of the really common questions I've always had is, hey, when can I get my new, what player should I get? And I'll be honest with you, I've even held out myself because I didn't want to spend money twice, so I've been basically waiting. And it'd be great to now jump on the HD bandwagon with the DVDs for the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I went format neutral. I ended up buying both players. And, you know, I'm kind of glad I did. You know, I got the enjoyment out of HD DVD as well as Blu-ray. And, you know, I have my movies that are over here on HD DVD. So I'm not going to be getting rid of them anytime soon. I'm going to be enjoying them for years to come.
Yeah, and that's like I say, everybody's always asked me. And I mean, it's going to be glad. Everybody's like, oh, wait, we can't. This is 2008, you know, and they got kind of confused with the analog digital thing. And, you know, that seems like that confuses it with everybody with the high definition DVDs and Blu-rays. But I think it should make things a lot easier for folks now since it'll just be one format.
Right. And the only reason why I kind of liked having both formats was the sheer fact that there was a price war going on that Toshiba's HD DVD was winning until studios kind of switched gears and stuff. And that's the only reason why I liked it was because the fact that the prices were being driven down on products.
Right. Wasn't that with one of the news that was before in Christmas where they had the HD DVD player for like $99?
Yeah, that was Toshiba. They lowered it to $99 through Walmart.
I can tell you that'd be great if they could do the same thing with the Blu-ray players upcoming. Everybody can switch over and buy their Blu-rays.
Right, and you know, it's definitely interesting to see that now that we've got all these major studios. In fact, Universal Studios, which was one of the major HD DVD backers, once when Toshiba came out with the news that they're going to be dropping HD DVD, it seemed like minutes later they're backing Blu-ray. So it's glad to see that all these major studios are jumping on it. It seems like that you're not going to be missing out on any content anytime soon, and everybody's going to be able to watch their movies.
Right. Now it's just now everybody's going to still have their HD DVDs left, and I guess that'd be the reason to keep your HD DVD player hooked up along with your Blu-ray.
Yeah, and definitely check out eBay. People might start offloading these sometime soon, not knowing. You never know. You might be able to get some great deals out there. But we're going to go ahead and kind of switch gears. This week, we launched the Uplink Center at SatelliteGuys.us. And did you want to explain what the Uplink Center is a little bit?
Basically, in a nutshell, that ever since Bob went to, you can have to remind me of the years here, it's been a while since I've been doing the reports, but when you went overseas, I kind of took over doing the uplink reports. And basically that was done by hand. I know Goldie can speak on that more, but now I've kind of done the automated process. I've gotten, you know, since then really fine-tuned it down where we can take one snapshot of the, basically it's the layout of the tables for to tell your receiver what channels are on what satellites or satellite, and those tables are not encrypted or anything up in the air, so it's really just we're taking a snapshot of the tables and comparing them against each other, and that's how we come up with the uplink reports.
Yeah. I was doing them by hand back in 06 when I got deployed, unfortunately, and the kind of backstory behind this is Digi kind of PM'd me one day out of the blue and was like, hey, you know, I got some software writing skills. I'd like to see if I can apply to this. And, you know, I was doing them at the time. I was doing them by hand. It would take well over 45 minutes just for Wednesday's changes alone, because that's 150 plus changes every Wednesday you're going through. And if they had more changes, it would take obviously a couple hours to do that. And I'd be sitting there doing it all by hand, comparing changes, frequencies and stuff like that. And that's how the uplink reports were generated. So Digi came up to me one day and was like, hey, I can automate this. And that's what kind of what started the uplink reports with DigiBlur as we know it.
Right. They've been building on it since then, of course, along with the help of, if you watch the uplink reports, you'll also see John H. Also, he posts stuff at some other sites for the uplink report. And he's taught me a few things. And so it's just really something I had to learn back and forth and tweak the program. But one of the hindrances about that was you had to manually do it. Well, normally we know that Dish Network does their uplink changes of the tables on Wednesday, typically around 12 or 1 o'clock Central, give or take an hour or two. Sometimes they've done it later. And the problem was, it's like they did some changes. Well, then say they did some more changes at 5 p.m. Well, you didn't know about it till you had to rerun it again. And now change the software where it's an automated process where now I usually have it run every hour and take snapshots and automatically send that to the uplink center form on Satellite Guys. And basically it gives us a real time of what happens. And I've had a few little issues with it. If you've been watching the uplink center, of course, this was the first week it rolled out. So it was like the first initial test, to be honest with you. I have fine-tuned it since this weekend to cut down on the a lot of the sports channels and some of the RSNs, 129. Those actually, if most people don't know it, but those actually move daily back and forth based on what content is going on during that day. And normally, we don't report those just because you don't want to see that report every day. But now I have those cut down on, you shouldn't be seeing those. It should be back to normal where we'll see like one or two uplink reports a week in the uplink center.
Right. And the reason why those are moved daily is because there's various sporting network channels like NBA League Pass, MLB Extra Innings until it went off a dish. And what basically the reason why those would move was different games would be on different days on different channels. So they would have to obviously move those with availability of programming.
Right. And also, you know, switching gears in the uplink report deal towards the north, there I've actually, the same software was written in mind for dealing with Bell Express View, since they do use a similar DBB tables. And it's done, I usually report run about once a day for the Bell Express View. They really only have a set day, it seems like, Dish Network for Wednesday. They just kind of do their uplink changes when they want type deal, which is still kind of, you think they could do that anyway, but you know, you don't know how things are at Dish Network. But with Bell Express View, it'll be done like about once a day, and it's also in one of the sub forums in the uplink center, and we'll see those reports done in the same fashion. So
right. And speaking of our friends up north at Bell Express View, we kind of learned in the past couple of weeks that they are changing encryption systems.
You're right. They're doing a card swap, and which should definitely be a good thing. And I'm sure Dish Network's going to be watching that very closely too, because they probably won't be far behind on that with their swap.
Right. And it seems like every time that they do a card swap, Bell Express View, since that is the sister system of Dish Network, it seems they like to test and implement up there first before they bring it down to the masses here in the United States.
Right. I guess I would make that assumption, being that they have a smaller number of subscribers. I'm not sure their numbers offhand, but I know they have a smaller number of subscribers than they do with the Dish Network system. Right. And also one thing I forgot to mention was from the uplink report was that this weekend also I put in the changes for the uplink program to also automatically will – every time there's a change, we'll update the Satellite Guys, the list. I don't know if many members are aware of what that is. It was started out as being a list of a lot of the free-to-air channels that are up there with true free-to-air receivers. And there's also a subscription side to it if you go into the list where you can list a lot of the Dish Network stuff and the Bell Express View. And there is some DirecTV stuff, which is just on the older standard definition, 101, 110, and 119 positions of DirecTV. But it's really powerful if you're curious of where stuff is listed at. You can drill down by satellite and even sort by transponder to see how things are loaded up on the different satellites. But that's going to be automatically updated anytime there are changes in the uplink reports.
And that's really cool, especially if for those of you who are looking to maybe, let's say you're wanting to watch a Charlie Chat or something, and it's moved transponders, you could go to that list and find out where that channel 101 is at on the bird.
A few people have you know, a few of the more technical ones have wanted to look and see the different loading of the transponders and, you know, see what's available. And you know, sometimes looking at that and sorting about different transponders will kind of give you an idea of, hey, why is, you know, Dish Network moving these channels from one transponder to the next? And, you know, as of right now, you can see that they're trying to clean up 61.5 to turn EchoStar 12 into spot beam mode. So it's, you know, if you're interested in that type of stuff, you can go over and head over to the list and take a look. And if you got any questions, feel free. I'm sure there's many of us that can answer them.
And speaking of channel launches, I have some strong rumors of channel launches here on DirecTV. I really wish Dish would start to communicate to their subscribers on how they're going to be launching channels, other than kind of keeping it up in the air. I know Scott and the whole Eastern Arc thing's been going on, and we'll have to keep an eye out for this, but the strong rumors are the following channels will launch on March 30th on DirecTV. Will be Disney HD, ESPN News HD, Toon Disney HD, ABC Family HD. Also, possibly launching on August 28th will be ESPNU HD. On April 2nd, possibly launching on DirecTV, and I'm hearing a strong possibility that this is very locked in, and that's the Hallmark Movie Channel in HD. And it's a wonderful thing to see that DirecTV is launching all these HD channels, especially in conjunction with their satellite launching here within the next couple of months.
Right. It's definitely everything to push the competition, of course, which is Dish Network. And, you know, hopefully, and we saw a few things going on with Dish Network a few weeks ago, and we haven't seen those come to light yet, along with the same one out you always hear about is the Sci-Fi HD and USA HD on Dish Network.
Right.
So hopefully we'll see those with their launches and whatnot they have coming up in a few months, and along with the more HD locals.
Right, and other channels that are out there right now currently available to subscribers, and these may be additions coming down the line here as soon as DirecTV does launch their satellite, as well as Dish Network, or RFD HD, WGN HD, AMC HD, Women's Television HD, Independent Film Channel HD, Fuse HD, Wealth TV HD, Travel Channel HD, which is available now, but not on any satellite subscriber. Also, Outdoor 2 HD and Mojo HD, which is one of the channels that we saw on the Dish Network uplink report. That's one of the channels that could be coming to Dish Network, but it hasn't came to light yet.
All right, it's going to be interesting. I'm really hoping that we can see a package coming out of DirecTV where we can get one of those HD-only packages, which I think would be a really strong point, but maybe they're trying to wait for some of their HD launches to see what really true price point they can offer that at to still, you know, turn a profit for them.
Yeah, you know, I wonder what Dish is thinking, because of the fact that, you know, DirecTV is launching all these HD channels, even though some of them haven't shown real HD, like Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, MTV, not to confuse MHD, but MTV HD. You know, some of those channels are just placeholders, but there really is a lot of content value of HD on DirecTV. But, you know, I feel that Dish Network should have at least launched USA and Sci-Fi, and that would have kept a lot of customers at bay.
Right. It's really, really disappointing that they haven't launched that. And, you know, I'm still, I know it maybe is a shock to some people, but I'm still holding out to see which one to go with this year. You know, hopefully by the fall I'll have my decision of which HD to go with. I'm still, about enough TV I watch is, you know, I watch a little bit of mostly over-the-air stuff, so. But I'm really anxious to see what's gonna happen here once these both providers have some good healthy satellites launched, and, you know, where maybe we might see some sort of type of price war or something like that with the HD packages.
Yeah, definitely. I think this time by Christmas next year, we'll definitely have something to be talking about. So it's definitely going to be something worth keeping an eye out this summer as the providers make their chess moves. We're gonna go ahead and change gears for the last thing here. Fire TV, which is an adult video IPTV service, This week on the site, we released the beta notes for the beta testers. So it looks like if you're in the beta testing for Fire TV, it looks like you'll be getting your units pretty soon. No date yet on when they're shipping, but hopefully that'll be pretty soon.
If I remember right, wasn't that in a video or something you had, Bob?
Right, yeah, we had that CES. I went out to the Adult Entertainment Expo and kind of caught a little bit of that. At the time, I didn't know it was an IPTV service. Otherwise, I would have actually stopped by and talked to the CEO, which was there.
Right. I didn't realize it either until I just, you know, I put two and two together. I said, hey, wait a minute. That's I think I saw that in one of those videos for around the time of CES. So it should be pretty interesting. And I saw some of the pre-release on the different pricing packages. And, you know, it's, it definitely seems like it's going to fit that niche market, I believe, for if we can get the boxes and see how this thing works out.
Yeah, definitely. I know the last service, which was IPTV, ITVN, had XTV, which worked out pretty good. Haven't heard anything on them lately, but, you know, it'll definitely be something to look out for. Well, that's the music. Like to thank you all for joining us, and Digi, thank you for joining us here in the podcasting studio this week.
All right, thank you for having me.
And keep an eye on the site. If there's any breaking news, we'll bring it to you first here at satelliteguys.us.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.